The Old Testament reading for Holy Thursday is from Exodus chapter 24. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the just decrees. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain, and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel, who offered burnt offerings, and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And God did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God, and they ate and drank. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 14th chapter. On the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready, there prepare for us." And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and to say to him one after another, "Is it I?" He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." As they were eating, he took bread. And after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is the gospel lesson just read, Mark 14, 12 to 26. The sermon title is "The Sacrament of the New Covenant." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, on this evening, all Christians around the world celebrate Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples. It begins a 3-day period known in the early church as the Triduum, concluding with Easter morning. As far as we know, it is the oldest festival of the church year, along with the festival of Pentecost, dating back to the 4th century AD. The Triduum was a replacement for the Jewish festival of Passover, while Pentecost was a replacement for the Jewish festival of the same name. This evening, it is appropriate for us to recount and remember the events of Maundy Thursday, to discern the meaning of the Lord's Supper, and remind ourselves of the benefits we receive when we partake of Jesus' body and blood in his sacrament. When Jesus told his disciples to find a room for the feast, he was talking about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This was a 7-day festival from the 15th to the 21st of the month of Nisan in the Jewish calendar. The Jews prepared for the feast by removing all yeast and leavened bread from their homes on the 13th day of Nisan. On the 14th day, the Passover lambs were brought to the temple, ritually slaughtered, and then brought back home to be roasted in preparation for the evening meal. At sunset, the 15th day of Nisan and the Passover began. The family gathered to eat the Passover meal together in one room. In the case of Jesus and his disciples, since their families were in Galilee, they celebrated the meal together as what was called a pilgrim group. Before eating, the Jews washed their hands, which we see Jesus doing for the disciples in our gospel lesson today. And then the wine was blessed by the head of the family. Jesus did this in Luke 22:17, where he talked about the cup and the fruit of the vine. The family then began to eat the most special meal of the year, not unlike our Thanksgiving dinners in many ways. The food included the roast lamb that was sacrificed the previous day, unleavened bread, bitter herbs, and wine. During the Passover meal, Jesus announced that one of the disciples would betray him to the chief priests. The apostles were shocked and they recoiled in horror. This is the famous scene depicted in Leonardo da Vinci's mural known as The Last Supper. Jesus told them it was the man whose hand was in the saucepot with his. Judas then excused himself for a bathroom break, and he came back later with soldiers to arrest Jesus. After the Passover meal was done, Jesus took the unleavened bread that was left over. He blessed that bread, broke it into a piece for each one of them, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then in the same way, Jesus took the wine that was left over. He blessed it and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." After the institution of his supper, Jesus taught his disciples many things and offered up prayers to his Father, as it is recorded in John chapters 14 to 17. After the last prayer, Jesus and the disciples thanked the owner of the upper room, wished them all a blessed Passover, and then went out to the Garden of Gethsemane, where they were planning to sleep for the night. Jesus told his disciples to repeat his supper with bread and wine in remembrance of him. The disciples and the church have done this faithfully ever since, so that the Lord's Supper is one of the distinctive marks of the church all around the world and down through 2,000 years of history. But what does it mean? Jesus himself explained what his supper is. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." What is a covenant? although it had origins in social contracts between kings and subjects, for the Jews, their covenant was something else. The Jewish covenant was the religious constitution that detailed the various rights, privileges, obligations, duties, commands, and regulations governing the relationship between God and his people, the Israelites. The Jewish covenant is called Torah by the Jews today, and we can find it in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We have been studying this Torah in our Sunday morning Bible class ever since December 2019, and now that's going on 4 years, and we're only halfway through. There's a lot there. That was their covenant. The old covenant was issued by God through his servant Moses, and it remained in effect until the death of Jesus. The old covenant became invalidated because the chief priests, scribes, and Pharisees rejected the Son of David that God had promised them. And when they rejected Jesus, the Jews then lost their priesthood, its kingdom, the temple, its land, its privileges and laws, and the people were soon scattered to the four corners of the globe. The new covenant that Jesus talked about in this sacrament was issued by God through his son Jesus, and it is still in effect today. The sacrifice for sins offered daily by the Jewish high priest from the blood and carcass of lambs or other animals has been replaced by the sacrifice for sins offered once for all on the cross by Jesus, with his own blood and his own carcass there on the cross. The old priesthood of Aaron and his sons has been replaced by the new priesthood, which is not me. It's you, the priesthood of all believers. This is why you participate as priests in the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Through baptism with water, you are ritually washed, consecrated, and made holy for service to God, just as the priests were ritually washed, consecrated, and made holy for service to God by their washing with water in the wash basin, first at the tabernacle and later in the temple. For example, see Exodus 40, 12 to 15. Through the Lord's Supper, you eat of the sacrificed Lamb of God, just as the priests daily ate their holy food, which were portions of the lambs or other animals sacrificed at the temple, as we are learning about in our Bible study on Sunday right now, learning about the priests' holy food. Through participating in baptism and the Lord's Supper, all Christians are truly God's priests of the new covenant. What do God's priests do under the new covenant? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, Peter says that you offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God, which are chiefly your prayers and songs of thanks and supplication in worship. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, Peter says that you declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness, and those are chiefly your prayers and songs of praise and adoration, again, in worship. Your priesthood as Christians is thus chiefly expressed in worship, that is, in songs and prayer, which is the Christian's temple service. As priests, Peter also urges you to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. 1 Peter 2, verse 11. What benefits do you receive from the Lord's Supper? In Matthew 26, 28, Jesus said that his blood was poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. As the Small Catechism explains, the forgiveness of your sins is the chief benefit of this sacrament. In Luke 22:19, Jesus says that his body was given for you. Paul explains this a little bit more in Ephesians 5:2, where he says, Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Lambs, goats, and bulls were given up in sacrifice in the Old Testament in order to seek God's favor, blessing, and reconciliation. Even so, Christ's body was given up for you so that you could have God's favor, blessing, and reconciliation. Finally, the Lord's Supper carries over some of the original meaning of the first Passover to us today. In the first Passover, the Israelites were protected from destroying angel that affected all the Egyptians, and they were made ready for their trip to the promised land of Palestine. So also in the Lord's Supper, you are protected from the destroying angel known as Satan, and you are made ready for your eventual trip to the promised land of heaven and the New Jerusalem. As you receive our Lord's Supper today and in future days, remember that here you celebrate and receive many things: the new covenant, the new priesthood, the new temple service, the forgiveness of sins, reconciliation with God, protection against the devil, and the promise of life everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen.